everyone, and welcome to On Wednesdays We Watch One Tree Hill, the podcast where a bunch of nostalgic millennials sit around and talk about a TV show from the early 2000s that they either grew up with or have never seen before in their entire lives. As always, I am one of your co-hosts, Brody, and with me, as always, is Jesse.
Hello.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
And today we are talking about season 5, episode 14 of One Tree Hill, titled What Do You Go Home To? Which, fun fact, is a song by Explosions in the Sky. Great.
I like that band.
Yes.
Good band.
Yes. So
I've never heard of it.
They're a good band. It's a good band.
Good.
So we open with a montage of everyone waking up and what they think of the minute they wake up that morning. So first is Lucas, who he's the voiceover, really. And he says, Lindsay, she's the first thing I think about every day. How is she? Does she miss me like I miss her? How do I get her back? And then another day without her begins. Boo fucking who, dude. Whatever. We go to Peyton, who her first thought is Lucas. Jamie's first thought is Chester.
Chester. I knew it. They went to Jamie and I'm like, it's going to be Chester. It's going to be the fucking rabbit.
Brooke's first thought is Brooke. And then, oh my God, I have to pee.
Same though.
Skills is what day is it? What time is it? What the hell did I drink last night? Great. Then Mouth has an entire inner monologue of Millicent. You smell so good. I have to go to work. Sure, I guess I could be a little late. What do you mean I'm fired? I wasn't even that late. How am I going to pay my rent? Would you like fries with that, sir?
Just kidding. Same, right? Mouth, same. Yeah.
Yep.
I am Mouth.
Mouth is me.
Yes.
Yes. Then we go to Haley, which her first thought is Jamie, as she rolls over to look at Nathan. And Nathan also wakes up, and his first thought is Jamie. And then, God, my girl is hot.
Yep.
And then we get Dan, which is his first thought is
What's the end of Nathan and Haley's?
Yes. And then they both wake up and say good morning. And then the next thing we see is these two little pair of feetsies come out from between them. And they both go, I think I'm a little hungry. I think I'm just going to eat right now. And they start tickling Jamie, who has been in bed with them. And it's adorable.
Yep. They once again. Haley is just not allowed to fuck her hot husband because she has a child. there we go. Yeah, yes. One shot, Haley.
Yeah.
I probably cock blocking you forever.
She took her shot last week, so she got it. She got it. Yeah. yeah. Then the last one is Dan, who wakes up to a gunshot and thinks about Keith. Shocker.
Good.
Then we go back to the very, very happy Scott household as Nathan comes down to breakfast and we find out Haley made some yummy French toast that Jamie's very, he approves. Jamie approves of the French toast. And they're all very happy. Nathan and Haley are very lovey-dovey and it's adorable. And they talk about their day, which Jamie, he says, what do you have planned for the day? And Jamie says, I think I'm just going to play today.
little businessman. Okay.
So good. But no, Haley's like, that sounds great, Jamie. I'm going to grade some papers. And we also have to interview N-A-N-N-I-E-S. They're interviewing new nannies. And then there's a whole adorable thing about spelling and Jamie misspelling dumb because there's a silent B and he's 4. Fine.
Yeah. He can still spell better than some adults I know. So it's
it's true.
Facts. Yeah.
That's Haley Jane Scott is his mother. He probably knows the difference between there, and there.
Exactly. Yeah,
absolutely.
My favorite line of the whole thing, though, was then Nathan asks Jamie if he wants to go to practice with him. And he's like, if it's okay with mom, you know, because separation from the child who was abducted, totally understandable.
Yep.
She says yes. And he's like, good, I'm going to go put on my jersey. Great. And Nathan just comments and says, thank God he got your smarts. I just realized you were spelling nannies. I loved that so much. It was so stupid. So then Lucas comes to school finally after being gone for a month. And we see that Skills has been taking over the coaching position. But the team is 4-8 now since the last time we checked in on the Tree Hill Ravens.
Yeah.
And Lucas is like, how did you get 4-8? And Skills is like, well, Q sucks. And he's like, what? No, Q sucks. He can't shoot anymore. Yeah. And he's sucked since he, you know, punched that douchebag in the face at Trick that one time. And his hand's never been the same since. And we know why, but they don't know why. And then we see Jamie and Nathan come in and they start messing around with Jamie. But Skills kind of hangs back and you can kind of see Skills hesitates before jumping in to playing with Jamie and shooting basketballs and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
We then see Mouth quickly, just a quick thing of Mouth, opening a letter and going, oh, my God. And then Brooke saying, oh, my God, as she forgot about her Macy's presentation. Millie, who has everything under control, gives Brooke her sketches and says, nope, I've got this. We're all planned. We're all good. You're ready. Let's go. Let's go. And Brooke is very grateful. So grateful, in fact, that she offers Millie a promotion and a new position in New York. She's like, yeah, but we'll have to figure that out once you get back to New York, which Millie is sad about when we see it on her face. But then things change very quickly when Brooke gets a phone call. And she hangs up the phone. Brooke is very freaked out. And she says, Millie says, Brooke, I can't go to New York. I have a life here now. I want to stay here. And Brooke's like, yeah, that's fine. There's been a change of plans because I'm going to be a mom.
Sure. God.
Yep. Then she says, nope, so I'll need you here. And then we cut to commercial. We come back. Brooke is freaking out, but Millie calms her down enough to realize that, you know, Brooke is getting a baby and Brooke is very, very happy about that. So yay, baby.
Woo.
Oh,
my God.
She can't get it in her bag.
No, right. she can't get the sketchbook in her bag. She can't get it in her bag, but
she can't get it in her bag. And it was never going to fit in her bag.
Nope. Never
Millie's
was.
Like, you don't need this.
Right? Again, you don't need this, and you're getting a baby.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
The panic.
Yep. And then back at the gym, Jamie's asking his dad about why Grandpa Dan's jersey's gone. And Nathan explains it's because of the bad things he did. And then Quentin comes in, and we get the most adorable interaction between Quentin and Jamie, all in rap that is so adorable and so cute. Like, Quentin taught Jamie a rap. I love it. It's so cute. And then Nathan tries to get in on it. They both just look at him like, shut up, old man.
No.
Shut up, you old 22-year-old.
Yes. You elderly
every time
man.
Jamie and Quentin look at Nathan like he's 40.
Exactly.
I go, y'all, he's not that old.
No. Oh, God. Yeah. Then Lucas and Skills come in, and Lucas makes Q shake his hand, and we can clearly see that Q's hand is still very much messed up, obviously. Yes.
Shocking.
Yeah. Right?
The boy who took his cast off has a hand that's not healed.
Right? In a month. It's still not healed. Who would have thunk that one? Then Haley goes to see Peyton. As Peyton is looking at and listening at demos for new artists, since, you know, Mia is doing very well. She sold 40,000 copies of her debut album, which is great.
On iTunes.
Yes.
Yay.
And Haley's like, I think I have an artist for you. And Peyton's like, oh, cool. Who is it? And she was like, Haley James Scott. And Peyton immediately just swipes all of the demos off her desk into the trash and says, okay, yes. It's great. I love it. Then back at practice, Lucas makes Quentin palm two basketballs for 30 seconds. And if he can hold them for the 30 seconds, then he's fine. You know, then we're going to drop all this and you're totally healed and you're totally fine. And we'll figure this out, you know, but it's fine. Obviously, Q can't do it.
Nope.
And Lucas, not even close. Nope, not at all. Not at all. And Lucas tells him that they are getting a second opinion and they are going with him to the doctor, and Q is very upset.
Yeah. Cause Q lied to Skills and said, oh, you know, doctor said it was fine. It'll just be sore for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So God.
Yep.
Lucas is no stranger to playing with an untreated medical condition.
No, just so a little bit of history repeating. It's fine.
Can't bullshit a bullshitter, you know?
No.
Come on, Q.
God, yes. Then Mouth comes to Close Over Bros to see Millie, and she immediately tells him she might be getting a promotion and staying in Tree Hill. And Mouth's like, that's great. I might be getting a promotion and leaving Tree Hill, which makes her very sad. And they sit down and he explains that he got offered a full-time on-air position at a station in a smaller market in Omaha.
And Millie's okay, see, like, here's the thing.
Okay.
Comparatively to what we've been led to believe Tree Hill is.
Yeah, Omaha's massive.
Omaha's bigger.
Yeah.
And Omaha is a great place to report sports from.
Uh-huh.
Also but, that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But my favorite line is Millie's like, Omaha, Nebraska. The closest Close Over Bros store to Omaha, Nebraska is this one. And so they talk about it, and Millie says he should take it. And but Mouse says, well, it's not that easy because, it, you know, yes, that's his future, but he also sees Millie in his future. And then he freaks out because he's like, oh, wait, I shouldn't have said that. That's too early. Should I have said that? And she's like, Marvin, it's never too early for you to say that, especially coming from you.
He almost told her that he loved her. Uh-huh. It was like almost there. It's
And yes, so she's, it's adorable. And then she makes a comment at the very end. She comments that if he does leave, can she have his room as she's still staying at a hotel that pays by the day?
Yikes.
Yeah. Like, come on, Brooke. There's got to be another room in that house for Millie to stay in.
But right. Okay.
But okay.
There's a hole upstairs in Brooke's house. We don't know what's up there.
We've never seen it.
For all we know, Mr. Fluffers, the cat or whatever the hell his name was, is still up there.
Beasley. It was Beasley.
Beasley the cat came back and lives upstairs. That woman could have lived upstairs in her own house that Brooke bought.
Yeah. Yes. She could have continued renting from Brooke the house. That,
correct.
Yeah. Then we go to Haley and Peyton, and Haley plays Peyton her demo. And as it's finished, Haley starts making all kinds of excuses about how it needs a lot of work. But Peyton's just like, yes, yes, Haley, I'm saying yes, we're doing the record. And so they're both very happy about that. And they say something about a miracle. And then immediately Brooke calls and they're like, she's like, it's a miracle. And they're like, what? We thought we had good news. She's like, no, I'm getting a baby. And she's in a baby store or something. And she's just like throwing toy after toy after toy into her cart in her basket. And she's like, I'm getting a purple monkey. It's so cute and stupid. Yes.
Yeah. I mean that, really, I don't know. I love Brooke, but the whole, this is,
one a story of
the
dumber
things. This is a storyline. No, this is one of the dumber things she's ever done. And, it stresses me out. Let's just say that.
What, the 22-year-old getting a baby?
Yeah,
it stresses her out too.
Yeah.
In case you hadn't noticed.
Oh, yeah. For sure. But the 22-year-old who is like obviously never read a thing about having a baby. I almost said owning a baby, but that's not how those that works.
No. Not quite.
No, but yeah, just zero research has been involved in this, and it shows. And it's going to continue to stress me out. I can feel it.
Yes. But they are all very happy, Brooke about her baby, Peyton and Haley about the record. And they say, you know, today's a good day for all of them until we cut to Q in the doctor's office with a cast on and he's really sad and upset.
Yeah.
And Lucas reminds him that it's going to be off by playoffs. And Q's like, we're 4-8. How are we going to make the playoffs? And Lucas is like, we'll figure it out. And then Q asks to talk to Skills in private and lays into Q about telling Lucas about his hand. And it's not pretty whatsoever. And Skills just says he's going to let him take all that back once his wrist is healed.
Yeah. It's like, I guess I understand like a little bit like the, like he feels betrayed, but like it was some harsh words from there, Mr. Q.
Yeah. Yeah. And I get it because Q, you know, he's like, I need a scholarship to go to college. I can't afford to go to college otherwise. This is my only shot. And you guys just ruined this for me. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, that was the whole struggle with the cast the first time before he, you know, cut it off. Yeah. So then We see Lucas, Nathan, and Jamie leaving the doctor's office, and they're in the elevator, and the doors open to the elevator, and Dan is there. To which Jamie just goes, "Hi, Grandpa." And Dan goes, "Hi, Jamie." And then he goes into the elevator, and he says, "Well, boys, if you want to jump me, now's the time to do it."
Do it! Do it!
Do it! You won't.
Right.
Yeah,
That shot of the three of them in the elevator. That was a great shot.
Yeah. Yes,
I loved that. I just, it was well done.
Mm-hmm. Then we then cut to Dan leaving the doctor's office or hospital or wherever the hell they were. When Nathan following him outside and tells him they aren't doing this. They've seen him outside Jamie's school. They've seen him drive past their house. They are not. He is not going to be a part of Jamie's life. And Dan says he's just at the hospital, you know, for a checkup. He's been in prison for 5 years. He needs, you know, he just wanted to do a general checkup, but he thought maybe. And Nathan immediately cuts him off and says, "No, not ever. You will never be a part of my son's life."
Dan's lost his edge. He used to be so good about lurking outside of places without getting caught.
Right.
Yeah. Out of practice.
Yep. Well, yeah, he's had 5 years of no practice. So there you go. Yes. Then while that's going on, we see Jamie asking Lucas, you know, he tells him he doesn't understand. Dan seems so nice. But Lucas then explains to Jamie, you know, he says, "Okay, take Chester. You love Chester, right?" And Jamie says, "Yep. Well, what if Grandpa Dan hurt Chester and took him away so you could never see him again?" And Jamie says that he would probably be mad. And Lucas explains that's how everybody else feels. And Jamie just quietly gives his Uncle Lucas a hug after that. Point for Lucas for kind of explaining what Dan did without telling him what Dan did.
Right. Yeah.
That's a good way to explain it.
No, because I don't remember. Was it earlier this episode when Nate was trying to explain why Dan's jersey isn't hanging up anymore?
Yep.
Yeah. And he's just like, "Well, Dan did bad things."
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie's like, "Well, you did bad things, mm-hmm. but your jersey's still up there." You know, so it's like, close, but not quite, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and the whole situation is just so awkward and awful because it's like, you can't explain murder to a 4-year-old. You just can't.
No.
Like, there's no way to do it, especially when it's someone who he hero worships.
Yeah.
Who saved him.
Doesn't know better.
Yeah. I mean, his only interaction with Dan is him saving him from crazy Nanny Carrie.
Right.
Like, to him, Dan's a pretty good guy. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then we cut to Brooke, who is at her house now, surrounded by so many baby toys. Oh my God. If Babies R Us was still a thing back then, I think they just robbed one.
Oh, it absolutely
the entire store.
Yeah, like, it definitely was. And she did.
Yeah. But all the fun stuff, because we'll get to that. But Peyton and Haley come in just as Brooke is hanging up the phone with Owen, who is apparently very freaked out about Brooke now getting a baby.
Shocking.
Right?
Weird.
Yes.
Brooke made a decision and didn't consider anyone else in her life. And people are weird about it.
Yeah. And Haley and Peyton both say, well, they're not really surprised, given as, you know, they're barely dating and he is a confirmed bachelor. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fine. But Brooke's pissed. She's like, well, apparently you just throw a baby at somebody and then they freak out. Yes.
Yeah.
Brooke. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes, dear.
That, me too. To my understanding, is what happens when you're a single parent.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Yeah. So then they ask about the situation with the baby. Like, how did you get a baby? What did you do to get a baby? And we find out that she's not adopting a baby. It is a program that a family actually had to drop out of, that brings babies from other countries who need major surgeries to the U.S. to have those surgeries. And she will be looking after the baby before the surgery and after the surgery for a little bit while they recover. And then they send the baby back to their family. Great.
That's worse.
Uh-huh. Yep. You just get attached and then you got to let them go. It's fine. Then Haley asks if she got everything. And Brooke's like, obviously I got her a purple monkey. And Haley's like,
all that matters.
But did you get her a crib? Food? You have to feed her. And Brooke's like, oh, Right. I think I got sidetracked by the purple monkey, which Haley then offers. She says, I've got all of Jamie's old stuff. Come over. Well, we can set you up with everything else that you need. And Brooke is very happy about that. Then we go to Mouth, who goes to see Millie at Close Over Bros and says he has a great idea for a cheap place for her to live. His place. You can just move in with me because I'm staying here. I love my life here. I'm not leaving. And Millie immediately clams up and freaks out immediately and says she can't do that. No, she cannot move in with him. She's very happy he's staying, but they cannot move in together, and she leaves.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, great.
Also, like, really, Mouth? Like, gave up an opportunity. Come on, Mouth.
Then, at Haley's house, she and Brooke are talking, and she asks Brooke if she knows how difficult it's going to be to say goodbye to this baby when it's time, as she knows Brooke will get attached. And Brooke's like, oh, yeah, no, I know. And I know I'm going to need help, but I'll be able to manage. And then Nathan and Jamie come home, and Brooke is very happy to see her godson. And Lucas also walks in just as Peyton walks in with the car seat, and it is awkward.
Yeah. This is the first time they've seen each other, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
In a month.
Yeah. And it hasn't been a not eventful month.
Yeah. No. So then we cut to Lucas and Peyton taking a walk together and talking about, you know, where Lucas was for the last month and making small talk because Peyton says she wants to build a small studio in her office space to cut on cost. And Lucas is like, I think that's a great idea. I think you should do it. And then he tells her he does not blame her for the wedding. And Peyton admits she feels responsible, but Lucas says Lindsay will come back as they still love each other. So everything's okay.
This boy.
Denial is not just a river in Egypt, Mr. Lucas Eugene Scott.
The dumbest boy in school. Still the dumbest boy in school.
Yep.
Yes. Then we go back to Brooke, who is getting stuff ready for the baby, and Chase comes in to see her. And he's like, I came on behalf of Owen, sort of. And she's like, oh, yeah, he's supposed to stop by. And Chase just kind of tells her that Owen wants his independence and is very threatened by the thought of, you know, family and babies and stuff like that. And Brooke then asks, she's like, well, did Owen send you, like, we're in junior high or something? But Chase says he didn't. And he also tells her that Owen is not coming by at all. So
again, shocking,
right? Yes. He then tells Brooke that he's actually taking off as well. And he actually came to say goodbye to her. And Chase then offers himself to help her if she needs anything before he leaves, you know, someone to talk to, new carpets, a husband.
Yep.
I love Chase so much.
I do too.
He said, while I'm standing here, I might as well shoot my shot.
Right. And you can tell there's still something there, but it's not enough, but it's still so cute.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's that closure that they probably didn't get because if you think about it, I mean, they probably broke up because of distance.
Yeah.
You know, college. So yeah. That's a hard way to, like, it's hard to get closure when it's distance like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And then as he leaves, he tells her not to take the Owen stuff too personally, but he knows she will, but explains that forever changes like this scare Owen, as well as they can scare a lot of other people as well. And he says goodbye and he leaves.
Yeah.
Then Mouth answers his door to Millie, who wants to talk to him and is freaking out. And he's like, okay, can I get you anything? She's like, a water or an apple martini with cherries in it.
The fact that he had the ingredients to make an apple martini with cherries in it ready to go.
It is Mouth. It is for the girl that he sees a future with. Of course, yeah. Mouth had the ingredients to make the apple martini.
We have to stand.
As he found out that was her favorite drink of choice, he had that stocked and ready to go and learned how to make that shit.
Absolutely.
Because it's Mouth.
Any man who is interested in you should.
Yes. Exactly. Exactly. So as he makes her apple martini with cherries in it, she downs it and immediately says, there's a reason they can't sleep together because she's a virgin.
Yeah. Okay.
Great. Great. Yeah. And she's not ready to have sex yet. Mouth immediately asks how lucky he got to find her and tells her he would never put pressure on her. And he just wants to be with her and they will make it work if she moves in. They'll even get separate beds. But if you try to sneak into mine, I'm telling Skills. So, yes. And so with that, Millie agrees to move in.
Am I alone and feeling weird about how the show, especially Mouth, like idolizes virginity in women?
It's a little weird.
Definitely a little weird, his delivery about like, how did I find this sweet perfect girl? Like, no.
Uh-huh.
That was icky. And
I
feel like Mouth as the character probably didn't mean it the way that it was written.
No.
Yeah.
And it was just really bad writing.
Yeah.
That did idolize purity in the South.
Right. Yeah. No, because I love Mouth and I love like how sweet he and Millie are. And I love the relationship so much, but like, that was just like, ick. It took me a minute. I had to like,
no, it's bad writing more than anything else. I don't think the intention is that whatsoever. So I just choose to be oblivious to that and just to live in the, they're so adorable. They're so perfect together. It's great. It's great. It's great.
Yeah. Agreed. I'm cool there.
Okay, great. Cool. Great. Cool. Moving on then. Haley is interviewing new nannies with Nathan and none of them are going to work out because they're all hot.
Yep. I loved this interview montage. It was kind of fun. It was pretty fun.
I just love how Haley looks at one of them and just went, no.
Yeah. Like, that's just what it devolves into until the obligatory gay joke. I giggled. I'm not going to lie. I went, ew, this is bad, but like, it's kind of funny.
But it was kind of funny because, the the last one is it's an obvious gay man. And he says, so Nathan, I heard you like to swim, to watch your nanny swim naked, and stares at him. And Nathan just goes, I deserve that.
Yeah.
And he did. He absolutely did.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh
God. Okay. Then we go to Lucas, who comes over to Brooke's house, who is starting to think that she made a big mistake about this baby. And so Lucas tries to comfort her by saying she will be a great mom, but she's still not so sure. Before that, even she's like, Lucas, I just need you to come over here and tell me that everything was going to be okay. And he's like, everything's going to be okay. She's like, it doesn't count now.
I also loved how he was like, you should have thought of that. And she was like, if I wanted, you should have thought of that. I would have called Peyton.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
Brooke knows who she needs to call out of her friends to get whatever she wants out of them. It's not like she hasn't done this her entire life.
She
gets the answer
she's looking for. She knows who she needs to call.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. Exactly. But then it turns into a really sweet heart-to-heart thing where, you know, he tells her that she's going to be fine. She's going to be great. And she tells him that Owen thinks she's being selfish. But Lucas assures her she isn't. And Brooke admits that she's scared, but Lucas says it's okay to be a little scared, but she's going to do great. He had a great single mom, and she's going to be a great one, too.
Okay, sure.
Great. Yes. Then Haley is still going through the applications for nannies. And as Nathan comes down and she admits to him that she still just really wants Jamie, Nathan, and her music all to herself right now and doesn't want to give any of that up at all. And Nathan totally gets that from her. And Haley then suggests Nathan get a workout in and reminds him of what the therapist said about their dreams. And Nathan admits that he's going to really, really suck. But Haley tells him he has to find out sometime. And he takes the basketball and goes to the gym. And when he gets to the gym, we find Q there. And Q asks if he's trying to make a comeback. And Nathan says, nope, I'm just trying to make a free throw, which he misses. Sure. And Q shows him, oh, fine, I can show you how to make a free throw, even left-handed. And Q makes one. Then Q begins to try to compete and goad Nathan, and you know, it's, yeah, Q is obviously better than Nathan as they're playing, and he boasts even more and starts talking more trash to the point where Nathan walks out annoyed at Q.
Yeah. Trash talk got a little bit close to home for, yeah, for Nathan.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I also think,
yeah,
I just want to know, if Q can shoot left-handed just fine, why hasn't he been doing that?
Right?
Right? Why has he not been doing that?
Yeah.
Other than for the plot.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is plot injured. Yeah, why didn't Skills think about that? Why didn't...
Because Skills isn't that good of a basketball coach. I love Skills. Skills has many talents. I don't know if he's that good of a basketball coach. They went 4-8 while he was gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I will blame Q for most of that, though.
Yes.
Oh, same.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's because Q doesn't want to. That's why.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's not as good left-handed.
No.
So. No, I also, like, in the shit talk, Q, Nate mentions you're just going to have to go, you might just have to start at a junior college. Mm-hmm. That's what I did. And Q says, yeah, and look where that got you. But, like, does this boy not understand that Nate was drafted into the NBA? Like, right? That's what he was supposed, where he was supposed mm-hmm. to be, right?
Yeah, if he hadn't got injured, if he hadn't got injured, he would be playing in the NBA this year.
Right, exactly. Like, does Q not understand that? Like, I understand the, you know, the shit talking was just getting a lot for Nate and he had to walk away. But like, Nate's like, could have just been like, yeah, it got me drafted into the NBA so I could support my family, you know, and mm-hmm. like thrown the ball at Q's face or something and left, you know, instead of just like sulking off. Like, it's just, it's not like Nathan was nowhere. Mm-hmm. He got injured and that sucks, but he had a lot of success for his age before he got injured.
Yep.
I don't know. Q annoys me. I love watching him and Jamie interact, but I'm like, Q, shut the fuck up.
Well, I think that's the point of Q. Like,
good. Yeah, it's working. Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah. He's the villain that we needed after dealing with Victoria and Carrie.
Right.
Yeah.
Because he's a lot more tame like Felix was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's this, so let's not forget the parallels they set up from minute one of, oh, he's like first season Nathan. He's like old Nathan.
Yeah. He's like Nate if Haley had not found him or given him a chance.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah. So then a little bit later, Dan is now in the gym as Nathan walks in after getting dressed. And Nathan walks in, asks him, what are you doing here, Dan? And Dan says he's just regretting it all and asks if Nathan is trying to play again. And Nathan's like, no, I'm not trying to play again. I couldn't even make a free throw. I did whatever. And Dan quietly says, you know, you need to just do your best. You have nothing to be ashamed of, unlike me.
Yeah.
Whatever. Dan.
I'm also having a really hard time trying to figure out how all these people are getting into the high school gym after hours.
Well, Nate's brother is the basketball coach.
Yeah, and Nathan's basically like an unofficial assistant coach at this point, so.
Yeah, but still.
Dan doesn't make sense. Unless Nathan forgot to lock the door behind him.
Maybe, yeah, who knows. So yeah, then we cut to Mouth, who tells Skills that Millie is going to be moving in after all. And asks if they could maybe, you know, tone down the swearing and all the sex talk and be a little more gentlemanly for Millie. And Skills is like, okay, we can try. Great. Then Nathan gets home from his workout. And when Haley asks him how his workout went, he says not so well. And Haley's sorry for that. But then she tells him her little bit of good news that she's going to record her album with Peyton. And Nathan is very happy for her. But just then we hear a voice from outside the room and Nathan asks who that is. And Haley says, it's our new nanny. And it turns out it's Deb.
Deb's back.
And she looks so hot.
She looks so good. Yes, Jamie is very happy to see Grandma Deb, even though as soon as he says it, Deb goes, "What have I told you? Grandma Deb's too young to be a grandma." And then he goes, "Nanny Deb." And she's like, "I love that so much more." So cute.
Oh, she's
leave it
back.
To Deb to be Deb to be like, "No, I'm not Grandma Deb."
No.
Nanny Deb. Yes. And then we start our montage for the episode, which is just really, it starts Nathan, Haley, Jamie, and Deb are super happy and they're playing together. And it's adorable to watch them all. Q is in the locker room in tears, staring at his cast. Lucas and Skills are at Trick. And Lucas tells Skills he made the right decision telling him about Q. And they will figure things out and work through it. And then Peyton tells Brooke that they need to go because otherwise they're going to be late to go pick up the baby. But Brooke says she needs to do this on her own. And we see Brooke get to the airport and she picks up the baby. And the episode.
Literally, baby ends. Walks off the plane in someone's arms. Baby gets handed to Brooke and then they leave.
Uh-huh.
Like, I was laughing so hard.
Yep.
That was like, they didn't have a diaper bag for her.
Nope.
They didn't have a carrier.
Nope.
They didn't have shit.
The props department
literally
done
carried that sweet baby off the plane and said, "Here you go."
Yep. The props department done fucked up is what.
Good
the
luck.
Not an ID check.
No.
Not a paperwork signing.
No. Nope.
Nothing.
Not a one.
Yeah.
The middle of the fucking terminal.
Of the Tree Hill Airport.
The Tree Hill International Airport. God.
Yep.
No, this was, yeah.
Yeah. And then, the episode ends. She gets the baby and the episode ends.
Yeah. We zoom out. We get like a drone shot or crane shot because we didn't have drones. Just like a zooms out of Brooke just looking at this baby. It's like, oh boy.
Yep. yeah. Okay. So what did we think of the episode, kids?
So good.
Yeah. I like it. I like this episode. It's a good one. It's getting back to obviously like the last few episodes. Well, the last episode was literally just them talking, a lot. And this is after that. So it's like, here is a reset point. Here's new stuff. Let's go. You know what I mean? So we did a lot more action this episode, which I think is great.
We don't have that many more episodes of the season to build the drama back up for the finale, right?
No, this was episode 14 and there's 18 total.
Right. Yeah.
So we have four more episodes to do stuff.
Build up to find a half decent finale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, I did enjoy this episode, but I don't know if it's because of the well, it's great to see Deb again.
Deb was a great surprise. I forgot. Yeah. That Deb came back at this point. Like, obviously I knew she came back. I didn't remember it was here. So whenever I heard her voice, I was like, Deb's back.
Yeah.
I only remembered because I remembered she becomes the new nanny.
Yes. I just couldn't remember if this was like sooner than later with her being the new nanny. Yeah. But yeah. I loved it. I love the fact she's back. I love the fact that Haley is recording a record again. I love that her and Peyton are interacting more. Like, that's something we've not had, I feel like, this entire season, was, like, Haley and Peyton a whole lot. We got it a little bit in the beginning with Mia, but Mia was always there, and then it was, leave Lucas alone, I'm Team Lindsay, and now it's, like, we're back again, Haley's like, okay, Peyton's good again, it's fine.
Right.
I'm Team Peyton again.
Yeah, I think, and you kind of, I touched on it a little, I mean, we've talked about this, I've talked about it before with, like, I didn't how much I did not like Haley's reaction to the budding love triangle and how she was treating Peyton and all of that. And honestly, you could kind of tell too, that like Peyton's a little surprised by it because of how Haley's been treating her. And I thought that was a nice like little nod to that. Like, even because I think at one point, Haley says she's like really proud of her or something. And Peyton's just like stunned. Because it reminds me a lot of their relationship at the beginning of season 3, when it was reversed and Peyton was mad at Haley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, Peyton and Haley's friendship is, for whatever reason, has always been, like, tenuous, like, the most tenuous. Like, any little, like, not little, because there's no little relationship factors in this show. But any new, like, relationship dynamic kind of tends to throw their friendship, you know, into turmoil. So, yeah, it makes sense that this season they haven't interacted a lot. And now that they're working together, it's going to be fun. And I liked what I heard of the songs that Haley's putting out. I'm pumped.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's like they did in the beginning, but that was, like I said, it was mostly the Mia stuff. So there was always, Mia was always the focus and it was never just those two together. So I'm very happy that that's a thing. I'm very happy that Nathan and Haley are very happy again and the family's good. And that makes me very happy. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Who knew that all it would take would be a little bit of therapy and your child getting abducted to fix your marriage?
Well, I didn't know about the child abduction, but the therapy I have been.
Yeah,
I know. About the therapy is.
Yeah. And I will say, I do like the trajectory of Mouth and Millie. I don't like the whole virgin worshiping thing that's going on here, that it makes Mouth seem like he's. Yeah, it's weird. But
yeah,
but I like where they're going. I like where they're going, which is great, which is great.
And also I was thinking this too about, like, in the grand scheme of things, Mouth and Millie are moving a little fast, but once again, they are the only characters in this show that are actually acting their age.
And we almost, and we also missed a month of their relationship. So, you know, hey.
Yeah.
But even so, like, I mean, it's a month is still a month, whether we saw it or not.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, once again, instead of being the only character that's in high school, Mouth is the only character that's actually 22.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And I mean, we actually saw them talk about, like,
they talked about, they discussed their issue of, oh, Mouth might be moving. What do we do? And Millie made the grown up say, you should go. We will figure it out. We will stay together. Like, they're the two most grown up 22-year-olds that are here, and that's saying something compared to the ones who have, you know, the house and the child.
Children. Yeah. Now there are children.
There are children in the scenario now.
Yep. There are two kids. It's Jamie and the other baby. Yeah. But I like this episode. I think it's back to business as usual, it feels like, with this episode. With it, it's back to, like, good One Tree Hill random stuff that we're used to, you know.
Everyone got a few minutes of airtime. No one was killed or abducted or got left at the altar. Like, it's just a status quo in Tree Hill.
Coolio, anything else we want to add about this episode before we wrap it up, kids?
I got nothing.
All right. Well, thank you so much, guys, for listening. As always, do not forget to like, rate, and subscribe to the podcast. Rate us 5 stars. That really does help us out in the long run with these lovely podcast algorithms. Follow us on social media. We are everywhere on social media at On Wednesdays Pod. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, hit us up on Facebook or Instagram DMs. That's where we live most often. And yeah, we will see you guys next week for another fun-filled episode of On Wednesdays. We watch One Tree Hill. We'll see you guys then. Bye.
Bye. Bye.